We're holding on an Aleph Amud Aleph top line. We learned in the Mishnah, so we had the case of the person who's suffering from Kud Yochus, where we said, therefore, his mind is confused and he can't validly give instructions to write a get. Versus, we said, you have a person who's mute, who lost his power of speech, where there we have the testing that we talked about yesterday, that we can have him, we can ask him various questions, we can ask him yes or no, a series of yes and no questions and see whether he nods or shakes his head correctly, or we ask him questions where, such as about fruit in and out of season. Either way, the point is we test, we find that he's still mentally competent. So now we're going to talk more about that point. What kind of instructions can a person give that would be valid for a get that don't involve speaking? So Amar Rav Kahana, Amar Rav, Keresh Yochol Adami Mitechak Ksav. So a Keresh, which is in Gemara terminology, a Keresh is a deaf mute. But here we're talking, so a deaf mute is considered he doesn't have das either. But here we're talking about, Rashi explains, now look further down on the Amud, we're going to talk about where he was always a Cheresh, where when he's always a Cheresh, then his Nisuin exists only Derabanan, Midaraisa, because he has no Das, he wouldn't be able to marry, but Midarabanan, because he might remain like that his whole life, then they came up with a concept of Nisuin for him. Here we're talking about the guy was originally a Pikeach, he was originally normal when he married her, then sometime during the marriage, he became a cheresh. He became a deaf mute. So now the problem is that on the face of it, he doesn't have the ability to give a get because now the get that he would give would be valid only drabanan because again, daraisa, we consider he has no das, and therefore, and then on the other hand, the kiddushin that he did were valid daraisa. So Rav Kahana is telling us that. If Yochol Adaba Mitecha Ksav, if he's able to speak via writing, meaning in other words, if he knows, if he has enough das to be able to write on a piece of paper, then the instructions, Kisvo Get Leishti, with all the details, then Kosvim Nosim Get Leishti, then we are able to write and to give a get to his wife, because then it shows that, as far as that's concerned, he's considered a complete Pikeach. So to that extent, we don't consider him a Cheresh. We've talked about before, in fact, that there are poskim closer to our times who talked about nowadays that's a regular thing that cheroshim are able to learn to communicate. They're able to they have sign language. They're able to they are able to write. Sometimes they're even able to sometimes they're even able to teach somebody who's congenitally deaf to speak. So then to a large extent, then in fact it says. About Sham talks about this, other Achronim talk about this, that maybe in fact they don't have the full din of a Cheresh Daraisa anymore. But so here we have an example of it in the Gemara where he's able to write. So Omer Rabbi Yosef, my Kamash Malon. But Rabbi Yosef asks, fine, I agree with the Halacha, but what's the Chiddush? Tanena, we learned in the Mishnah, Nishtatik, we have the case where a person became mute, but Omerle Nichtav Get Leishtacha, and they ask him, should we write a get for your wife? And he nods with his head, and we talked about yesterday the test that we do to make sure that he's not just some nodding. We test him three times. If he shakes his head no for the things that are supposed to be no, and nods his head yes for the things that are supposed to be yes, Hareli Yichtav Ubiyignu. Then they're able to write. Then they're able to write the get, and they're able to give it. So we see already that yes, you're able to do a get, you're able to execute a get based on the husband just making a signal, for example, by nodding. So the same thing should apply that, that you should be able to write and have the same thing. Now Tosfos points out that Rabbi Yosef could have brought up the question, on the contrary. In the Mishnah, you're saying that, the Mishnah is saying that you don't, that all you need is for him to nod. So why is Rav saying that he has to be able to write? Why don't we have the same thing? We should be able to ask the Cheresh, do the same test on him, see if he knows what he's talking about, and then see if he knows what he's doing as far as nodding and shaking his head, and then write the get. Adrabba, you could ask the question, why is Rav requiring that he has to write it? So Tosfos says that there's a difference, because a cheresh, it wouldn't be good enough. Even the yes and no test, it wouldn't be valid enough, because a cheresh is not only mute, but also deaf. And he's considered to have no das at all. So therefore, if he's able to write, then it shows that he has that ability, but not just with the nodding and shaking his head test. In fact, Tosfos Yeshanim points out, I mean, Reb Yosef knows that as well. He knows that there is that difference between an Ilam and a Cheresh, because he knows, for example, that, when it comes to Truma, an Ilam would be able to take Truma, a Cheresh would not. So there is that difference. So therefore, he's not asking why is it that in the Mishnah the nodding test is enough, and here you need writing. But he's asking Fakir. If you see that in the Mishnah that even the nodding test is enough, then why do you need? Then why does Rav need to tell us about the case where he's writing it, which seems to be less of a chiddush? There is discussion among the Rishonim about that Rabbi Yosef is saying, fine, I understand that writing is a stronger proof than the nodding test. And there's different points about that, different points why that is. One thing being that writing shows that he actually, you know, put some thought into it. So that's the question. So what's the chiddush then of Rav's din if we already have it in the Mishnah? So Amar le Rav Zeira, Ilim Kamrit. Rav Zeira answers back to Rav Yosef. What are you, you asking from a question of an Ilim in a Mishnah? Shiny Ilim. It's different with a mute person. Because he's able to hear, then he's considered a full pikeach. Here you're talking about a person who can't speak and can't hear. So therefore, yeah, the nodding is not enough. You're going to need right. So without Rav telling us, we wouldn't even know. The nodding is certainly not going to be enough, as Tosfos says. Maybe even writing would not be enough. Maybe in such a case, even if he's able to write, we wouldn't know it, and therefore we do need the Rav to be telling us. The Tanya, as in fact we learn in the Braisa, Medaba Ve'ena Shemeya, if a person is able to speak but not to hear, Zehu Cheresh, then that is the definition of a cheresh, but it's not the cheresh that we talk about throughout Shas, the one who's together with the shota and the cotton. This one is going to be, as the braisa is going to continue, is like a pekeach. Shemeya ve'en medaber zehu ilim. If he can hear but he can't speak, then he's in ilim, then he's called a mute person. But both the first kind and the second kind are both considered pikhim, because they still have, they're still considered to have das. Only if the person, it can't hear and can't speak. So therefore, essentially, they're not able to communicate with the outside world. So therefore, the chachamim consider that they don't have das. So Rav Zeira says, so sure, the din and the ilim of our Mishnah still has das, so there's no question that you can have him somehow indicate that he wants to write a get and nodding and then doing the, once you do the test to make sure that he knows what he's doing, then the nodding is good enough for us to be able to write a get. But on the other hand, with the case of the deaf mute, which is what Rav is talking about, that's a whole different matter. There, you wouldn't know from the Mishnah that he's able to give instructions at all, and therefore what Rav is telling us is a real chiddush. By the way, in this regard, there is something that Rishonim discuss, there is on the other hand a tesefta that implies that the sofer has to actually hear the command to write the get, and therefore to writing out instructions to write it may not be enough. But on the other hand, the Rosh discusses nodding shows that, you know, he's using physical expressions of his body, so therefore that's stronger. The Mishnah is talking about a person who's mute, so therefore, you know, you want that the wife shouldn't remain in Aguna and then and therefore you're going to allow it, but otherwise maybe not. If a healthy person were to write out instructions like that, then maybe not. In fact, in Shulchan Aruch you have both opinions. You have you're not supposed to do it based on a husband's writing, and yesh oimrim that someone who's mute could, like Rav is saying over here. Anyway, the point is, Reb Zera is saying that. The point is, there is a big chiddush in what Rav is saying. There's no reason for you, Reb Yosef, to be asking that it's implied in the Mishnah. And the Gemara explains, how do we know that those are the correct definitions? That a cheresh means somebody who can't speak, who can't hear, but he can speak, and an ilim is the other way around. So like this, you have psukim that bear it out. Dichtiv, you have a pasuk in Tehillim, v'anich cheresh lo yeshma, David HaMelech says on himself, I am like a deaf person and I don't hear, u'chi'ilim lo yiftachtiv, I'm like an ilim who doesn't open his mouth. So we see very clearly from that pasuk that a cheresh is defined as somebody who can't hear, and an ilim is defined as somebody who can't speak. The Iboris Ema, another way you can say how we know the word Elim means somebody who can't speak, Kida'amri Inshi Ishtakil Milulin. The word Elim can be taken as an acronym of the expression people say, Ishtakil Milulin, his words have been taken away. Which is exactly what an Elim is, that his words, his ability to speak, has been taken away. So that makes it clear which is which. So Omer Reb Zera, so now that Reb Zera deflected Reb Yosef's question and said there's no reason to ask why Rav said this when it's implied in the Mishnah, because in fact there is a big chiddush in what Rav is saying. Instead, Reb Zera says, "E kashali, ho kashali." If there's going to be a question, then my question really is as follows, within what Rav Kahana is telling us in the name of Rav. So you're telling me that writing is enough. But the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, when the Pasuk says, Im lo yagid, the Pasuk says about an aid that if he doesn't speak, so you have a case, the Torah talks about where a person knows Eidos on behalf of somebody else. And so if he doesn't come to testify in Beis Din, then he's over on that lab, Im lo yagid. And then the Pasuk goes on to describe, you have the case where the other person, where the Baal Din beswore him to come to Beis Din and testify on his behalf, and he swore falsely that he doesn't know the Eidos, and then later on he needs to bring a Korban Olah v'Yored. That whole point is discussed in Masechta Shavuos. But anyway, the point is, the Torah says, Im lo yagid v'nosa avo, you know, that if a person knows Eidos and doesn't tell it, then he's guilty of an Avera. And we learn from that, Prat le'ilim she'en yochel lahagid. The words im lo yagid come to exclude an ilim because he's not capable of speaking. So therefore, this concept of shvuas ha'edus wouldn't apply there. So if, in other words, if Reuven knows Eidos on behalf of Shimon, and Reuven happens to be an ilim, and Shimon tells him, will you come and testify in Beis Din on my behalf, and I'm beswearing you to, and Reuven nods his head, let's say, even if Reuven shakes his head to imply that he doesn't know the address or whatever, and the other guy is mashmiya him, he wouldn't be chayv a korban olah v'yored because he's not capable of speaking in Beis Din. So the question would be, based on what Rav is saying, that he could speak by writing. He would be able to write his testimony and then give it to Beis Din. So based on what Rav Kahana is saying, he ought to be chayiv. So again, Tosfos points out that, look, in the Mishnah, we're allowing him to do it by nodding. By the get, maybe you don't need him to be saying verbally. It's just you need to show that he agrees. But here, Rav Kahana is saying even by a cheresh, even where he can't hear and he can't speak, and you're considering him writing, so therefore it should be considered a real full-fledged dibur. And yet we see that he would be potter from Shavuos Eidos in that case. So he's able to imagine mitzvah ksav, and that apparently is considered full-fledged speaking to the extent that we're even able to write a get based on those instructions. Omalei Abaya, but Abaya answers back, Aegis Kamrit, you're talking about, You're talking about Eidos. Eidos is in fact a whole different matter. When it comes to Eidos, it's different. The Torah actually says that the Eidos has to be given mipihem from verbally, because the pasuk is about pi shnayim edim, and that implies v'lo mipi ksavam, not by writing. So they have to actually testify in Beis Din. So it's one thing. In other words, Rashi says a shtar that was signed on that day, that's considered valid, because Rashi says that the normal way of doing things is to write shtaris. So in other words, the concept of mipiyim v'lo mipi ksavam does not apply to a shtar. So you would have, let's say, the normal way of giving Eidos is not that you write it down and then send it to Beis Din. So you can't do that. Eidim can't send their testimony to Beis Din in writing. They have to give it verbally in front of the Beis Din. But when it comes to a shtar, it's a normal thing to write a shtar and the Eidim sign it right there when the thing is taking place. So therefore, that's considered valid Eidos. But in our case over here of the Ilim, in the case of the Elam, where we're saying that Shimon is telling him, please come to Beis Din and testify on my behalf, he wouldn't be able to testify in writing anyway, and he can't testify verbally because he's not capable of speaking. So therefore, that would be why he's Potter. There is, in fact, a long discussion that they have on the subject in Masechta Ksuvos, that after all, we do have the whole concept. So Rashi is alluding to it over here, kind of, by saying that you have the whole concept of writing a shtar and Adam signing it, and we do consider that valid Adam. But you have, in addition, Tosfos discusses over there in some detail, that you do after all have the whole matter of being able to write a shtar and the Eidim sign it, and even say Kamish Nechker Eidos and the Beis Din, that sort of thing, is considered as though the Eidim have been interrogated in Beis Din. So there is a certain validity to the writing and signing of a shtar. But on the other hand, it doesn't really have the full dinim of writing, of Eidos. Tosfos discusses at some length various details about it. For example, if there was only one Eid on it, it wouldn't necessarily be considered a shtar, that would be considered Eid mipi Eid. But if you have two people come to, if you have a shtar that comes to Beis Din with two signatures, then it is considered valid, as we know, and then therefore that would be considered Eidos. Anyway, but the point is, over here, where we're not talking about a shtar, here we're b'chlal talking about a person writing down his Eidos after the fact and sending it to Beis Din, so then, for sure, you can't do that. So therefore, that's why the Elam is potter. But not to say, says Abaya, that writing should not be considered a valid method of giving instructions. Sure, it is. So therefore, so that deflects Reb Zeira's question as well. Okay, the Gemara continues. Maisi, though, I have a contradiction on that. In that case, the Braisa says, Keshem Shabot Kenoisa L'Gitin, just as a person who became mute, like the case of Von Mishnah, just as he can be tested as far as Gittin, we can use the same test to test whether he knows whether he still has whether he's fully of sound mind, as far as Maso Matan, as far as buying and selling, Ula Adius, and as far as Adius, which is, so what do you mean, Adius, Vili Yerushas, and as far as Yerusha, which we're going to explain what we mean by Eidos and Yerusha. On the face of it, though, Katani Mia Eidos, Eidos. So we're mentioning Eidos. So on the face of it, that means that he could do based on, so now what's going to be, he can't give Eidos through nodding, for example. It means evidently he's going to have to write down his Eidos and they can bring it to Beis Din. So what are you telling me? So now that would fit with what we said before, that he can write and give instructions to give a get. But still, how does that fit with what we said before, that an Elim, therefore, is potter from Shavuos to Eidos, because he can't testify in Beis Din, because he can't do testimony in writing, where it seems that over here you could do testimony in writing. So Tosfos touches out the question further and says, you know, listen, if it weren't for Rav's statement, we would say that that nodding is, like it says in the Mishnah, that nodding is considered speaking. So we would say, but nevertheless, he's not, since an Elam is not able to actually speak, so therefore, relative to the Korban Shavuah, it's not considered speaking. Only in order to be chayim in Shavuah Seders, you have to be capable of doing something that would be considered Haggadah Malya, a high level of Haggadah, which would not include writing. But now that Rav is telling us that that writing down is considered Eidus Malya, it's considered something really really high level to the extent where even we can write a get based on those instructions, then why shouldn't it apply over here as far as the person who is unable to speak, but that he should be able to write his Eidus and give it to Beis Din? So what does Eidus mean? So Amar of Yosef Ben Yomi, Amar of Sheshes, Be'edus Isha, Be'akilo Barabanan. It doesn't mean a regular Edus. It means the case of Edus Isha, to give testimony that a woman's husband has died, where, as we learned at the end of Yevamos, the Chachamim made many kulas in it. For example, we said one Ed is enough. You can have Edus from a woman, or even from Goy Masiach of Itumai, etc. So yeah, so if you have this Elim, has evidence that the husband of the woman's husband has died, then yes, we will accept. Then we will accept his nodding or whatever. Once we test him to make sure that he's of sound mind, then we can then he can nod or shake his head as far as whether her husband is alive and about the details of that, and be able to be matter the wife on that behalf on that basis. But not regular kinds of aiders. Okay, the Gemara asks about Katani Yerushas. Fine, what about Yerushas? It sounds like we're talking about testifying that somebody else left something as a bequest. So then that would be real Eidus. And the answer is, Amar Abba, Yerushas Bnei Abchor Katani. No, it doesn't mean that. It means the Yerusha of his eldest son. So in other words, Yerushas means over here, Rashi explained, means if he wants to say that the Bechor should inherit equally with his other children. Now, the Torah tells us the Bechor has to get a double portion, but if he wants to change that while he's alive and give a Matnas Shchimra, or actually a Matnas Bori would have to be, because a Matnas Shchimra only takes effect after he passes away, whatever, the point is that, in other words, Rashi says the reason why we have to say we depend on him is otherwise the Yerusha will take place automatically. So here we're talking about if he wants to change things the way they are normally, then we can accept his nodding or shaking his head and go based on that. But we're not talking about Yerusha as in him testifying that somebody else inherited from Pliny. That wouldn't work because that has to be Eidus that he's actually able to speak. Tosfos learns differently. Tosfos says that what it means is that you have a case that's described in Balabasra where you have none of his sons until now was known to be a Bechor, and he testifies this one is a Bechor. The Torah gives him Nemonos to do that, because the Pasuk says, Ki yas ha-Bechor yakir, which means that even if nobody knew until now that this one is a Bechor, we believe him to say that he is. So therefore, so that would be the case over here. Not like Rashi is saying to take away the double portion from him, but rather just the opposite, to say that he should get the double portion because he is the Bechor. So to that extent, we'll accept his nodding as evidence of that. The Gemara asks, Katoni Mias Lamasois and Matonis. Fine, but what about, we said that we can also accept his nodding after we test him as far as Maso Matan. My Lav La'alma. Doesn't that mean that he's testifying that somebody else bought this or sold this, which would be regular Eidus? The answer is no. We mean as far as his own buying and selling, that if he himself is nodding his head, buy this or sell that, then we can do that. The Gemara asks Masvi, though. I have a contradiction, though. Here's another contradiction on Rav. A Braisa says, Cheresh, loy holchu boy acharimi zoysav, ba'achar kfit zoysav. When it comes to a Cheresh, and here we mean the regular kind of Cheresh, who can't hear and can't speak, which again is the kind that Rav was talking about all along, where Rav said he can write down his instructions to give a gift, and he can go based on that. So, loy holchu boy acharimi zoysav, ba'achar kfit zoysav. We don't follow his hinting and his nodding and his moving his lips or anything like that. So we learned before on Daf Nun Tes, we talked about this concept of a cheresh and his kvitza. We said there's a couple of other possibilities. What kvitza is, it can mean opening and closing his mouth. It can also mean jumping or doing other physical activities to demonstrate what he wants done. Anyway, v'achak ksav yodai, we also don't go according to ksav yodai, according to him writing, which directly contradicts Rav, elav metaltlin, only when it comes to buying and selling metaltlin, avaloy legitin, but not as far as giving instructions for a get. So what are you telling me therefore, Rav, that he's able to give instructions, that he's able to give instructions in writing to write a get, when the braisa is saying over here that you can't? So the answer is tanoi. As a matter of fact, it is a machlokas tanoi. Detanya, Omrav Shimon Gamliyobba, because that same braisa continues. Omrav Shimon Gamliyobba, Medvonim Amorim, when is that talking about that you don't follow his nodding or physical, or gestures or writing or anything like that? Is only Becheresh Me'ikra. Is only, he was always a Cheresh. So he never had das. So then, so now if he's writing down something or making gestures or whatever, then we can. But if he was normal and then became a cheresh, then he could write, he could even write the get himself if he wanted, and other edim will sign. So in other words, so fine. So Rav's din is a coincidence of Shimon Gamliel. So which is why in the end you have in Shulchan Aruch you have the two different opinions. Are we following Rav? Or are we not? Since now the Gemara is saying that he follows only that Rav's din is only according to Rav Shimon Gamliel, does that mean we should pass him like the Chachamim and say that by Gittin it would not work to write out Eidos like that? Tosfos points out, now the Gemara on the face of it could have said that the difference is, again, Rav is talking about where originally he was a Pekeach, and the Braise is talking about where he was a Cheresh Me'ikroi, and then we would say, then he can't write, but by where he's Pekeach, but he's Cheresh, then he could. Tosfos says, we know, it's clear that Rav Shimon Gamliel is arguing with the Braise that we said before. He's not just saying that you Tanakama are saying, you Tanakama will agree that it applies only in this case. No, he's arguing and saying that in fact, where the Tanakama is making a blanket statement that applies to all Cheroshim, then no, it doesn't apply to all of them. It applies only to a certain kind. Okay. Well, the Gemara asks for Cheresh Me'ikra. So Rav is going according to the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel. What that means in terms of halacha, there you have the question whether it means that we're going to follow Rav Shimon Gamliel since Rav agrees with him, or whether or not because after all the Tanakama is disagreeing with him. But the Gemara asks, what is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying? He's saying that when it comes to a cheresh me'ikroi, then you can't do this. Then you can't have him write because he was a cheresh all along. Well, the question is, why not? If he's a cheresh all along, k'shem shekoinsa b'remiza kach metziya b'remiza, wouldn't it be the same way as he's able to marry her to begin with remiza? How did he get married in the first place? Since he couldn't say harayat mekudeshesli, and since he didn't have das, he made gestures, and the chachamim accept it for a cheresh, because again, the chachamim made a takana that a cheresh, otherwise he might never be able to get married, because he may never recover. So therefore, they allow him to be koinus b'remiza. Well, kach motziya b'remiza. So why can't his marriage exist only d'rabbanan by virtue of remiza? So therefore, his divorce can also be done by remiza as well. What's the problem? Why is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that if he's cheresh me'ikroi, then he can't write instructions to give a get? And the answer is hoch ma'askin b'yavimtoi. The answer is that we're not talking about a regular marriage. We're talking about a yavama. So his brother passed away, and he did yivam. Now, his bia with her, even though he's a cheresh, his bia is fully effective daraisa to make her his wife. So actually Rashi says something slightly differently. Rashi says that the vort is not so much it's true. In a way so Rashi uses the expression her kiddushin will be complete kiddushin and her zika will be a complete zika. Now chalitza he can't do because he can't speak. So therefore, the result is he's going to have to do Yibum, and he can never do a, he can never divorce her or do Chalitza. The Rashash, in fact, points out, it's not really so much that, the Yibum fully takes effect Daraisa. It's, rather what it is the Yibum, it's true, is only really fully effective Darabanan, but the result is she still has a Zika. She still has the requirement she can't marry anybody else because she has to marry her husband's brother. So therefore, so here we're talking about, so therefore he can't give her a get because either you look at it that the marriage is fully valid daraisa because bia is all you need daraisa for yibum and the bia doesn't necessarily require das, or Rashi may be implying, as the Rashash says, that even if you don't need, even if you do need das for that bia, and therefore he doesn't have that, fine, then you have the other problem, you have the zika is still unsatisfied and that needs to be dealt with. So that would be where Rav Shimon Gamliel is saying that if he's a cheresh maker, then you have a problem and he can't write out instructions to give a get. Well, the Gemara asks, Yivimta Miman. Well, who was this brother who passed away who triggered the whole matter of Yibum? If the brother who passed away himself was a cheresh also, same thing. Her marriage to the brother who passed away to begin with was only derabanan. So therefore, now when she does yibum, so now the whole concept that she should have to do yibum with a surviving brother who's also a cheresh is also derabanan, and therefore the get again can be executed on the derabanan level by remiza. So ela denafla lema ochet pikeach, we have to answer that the brother who passed away was a pikeach, so his kiddushin and his marriage with her were completely valid. Daraisa, now when the cheresh is going to do yibum, then you have an issue because again, either you have the yibum is fully valid daraisa, but now he's not able to give a get, or that the yibum itself is not really valid daraisa, but the point is you still have a zikah left. So either way, you can say that's what Rav Shimon Gamliel means when he says that he can't write out instructions to give a get. That would be the scenario we're talking about. Or another answer you could answer, you could actually answer that the brother who passed away was a cheresh as well. Aye, then why can't he give instructions by writing to give a get to her? The reason is, the ugzela, because it's ugzela, derabanan, ochiv cheresh, otu ochiv pikeach. If we allow that when his brother was a cheresh, we might confuse it with the case where his brother was a pikeach, and people are not going to realize the distinction that the original brother who was married to her was a cheresh and the marriage was not valid daraisa, and when he was a pekeach, it is, people are not going to realize that difference. People are going to think, therefore, that if they see that now, so you have Reuven, who was a pekeach, was married to her. Shimon the cheresh now did yibum with her. If we see that Shimon the cheresh is able to write out a get to divorce her, is able to write out instructions, or even write out a get to divorce her, then people are going to think, oh, actually, no. If Reuven is a cheresh and Shimon is a cheresh, fine, we should have allowed that Shimon can write out instructions to divorce her after he does Yibum. But people are going to confuse that with the case where Reuven was pikeach and Shimon is a cheresh, and they're not going to realize the distinction. Well, the Gemara says, Yehochi ishtei nami. Well, by the same logic, we should make the same zera for a cheresh's wife. So because again, you might confuse it with the case of a yavama. And the answer is yivimte mechalfa, ishti yivimte le mechalfa. The answer is people might confuse the different cases of yavama. They're not going to remember exactly how it was with the original brother that he was a pekeach or a cheresh, but his regular wife is not easily confusable with a yavama. Because after all, one involves regular nisui, and the other one involves yibum. So therefore, we don't have to make such a gzera. So a cheresh will be able. So when he was a cheresh all along, the same way as he married her beremiza, he'll be able to divorce her beremiza. But when it comes to a yavama, then not. So again, the first answer was that in fact specifically he can't when the brother was a pikeach, and the second answer is even when the brother is a cheresh, then still we have a gzera because that might be confused with the other case. Well, the Gemara asks, according to that second answer, you're telling me that we make such gzeiras, and we make a gzeira that a cheresh shouldn't do something because that you shouldn't do something in the case of a cheresh because it might be confused with the case of a pekeach. Well, it's not. We had a case in Yevamos. Shnei achim cherushin nesuin shtei achoyes pikchos, that if we had two brothers who were cherushin, and their wives are pitchos, oishdeachos, chershes, or the two sisters are also chershes, there Rashi explains, doesn't really matter whether the wives are pitchos or chershes, because the husbands are chershim, of necessity. How was the kedushin done? Was only birimiza, was only by them gesturing. And again, that's valid only derabanan. So, or or you could have with mixed one sister is bikachas and the other is chershes. But the point is, in other words, that the husbands are both chershim. The same way, the other way around, if the sisters are both chershes. So again, how would they makadish these women? Keep in mind, of course, kiddushin, unlike gittin, requires das. So therefore, necessarily the sisters had to have das in order to be married. And if they don't have das because they're chershes, then the marriage is only derabbanan. So again, the same way the husbands, whether the husbands themselves are pikhim or chershim, would have had to use remiza, would have had to use gestures to marry them. So if they're chershes, nesuris l'shneach and pitchin, where they're married to two brothers who are pitchin, or l'shneach and chershin, or the two brothers are chershin, or l'shneach and echad pekeach v'echad cheresh, or the two brothers, one's normal and the other is cheresh. Either way, the Mishnah says, how are the pturis, mina chalitza, mina yibum? In all those cases, they're potter from chalitza or yibum, because in each of these cases, you have that in each of these cases, when one of the brothers dies, the one woman is his wife, and the other one is a chos ishto. And a chos ishto is, we learned in Yevamos, is one of the arayas that is that's potter from yibum or chalitza. But the Mishnah continues, the imhoyu nochrios. Now that all applies if the two women were sisters. What if the two women are unmarried? The nochri, of course, by the way, usually means a goy, but basically nochri means a stranger, and that's what we mean over here. We mean the two sisters are strangers to each other in the sense they're otherwise unrelated other than being sisters-in-law. So then the Mishnah says, yichmesu, then the brother who's a cheresh has to do yibum. Again, he can't do chalitza because he can't speak. And the Yavama, if she's a chereshes, can't do chalitza either for the same reason, because she also has speaking to do over there. We learned in Yavamas, by the way, that the speaking is not ma'akev. However, it has to be that they're capable of speaking. This is a rule that the Gemara often quotes called kolaroi labila. If you're able to do something, even though it wasn't actually done, it's considered as though it's done. But if it can't be done b'chlal, then we don't consider it as though it's done. So here, where a cheresh or a chereshes can't physically speak, then they don't have the ability to do chalitza. So therefore, of necessity, yibum has to be done. But the Mishnah continues, v'imrotzu lo itziyah n'yotziyu. But then afterwards, if the brother, having done yibum, if then he wants to divorce them, then they could. So that implies, in other words, that the get that's done by the remiza, by the gestures of a cheresh, is able to take away the yibum. So you're telling me, and why is that? Because the whole kiddushin, because again, we're talking about shnei achin chereshin. We're talking about the two brothers are chereshin, or the two sisters are chereshes, or whatever. And we said, so the kiddushin to begin with were only derabanan. Therefore, the yibum is chal only derabanan, is necessary only derabanan, and therefore the get can also be executed derabanan. And we see that we don't make a gzera, like we were saying at the bottom of the previous amud, that we shouldn't allow that, because if we allow a cheresh to divorce after a yibum derabanan, that a yibum that was necessary only derabanan, that is, then people might confuse it with the case where he's doing it after a yibum that was necessary deraisa. So we see you don't make such a gzera, because we see the Mishnah doesn't say any such thing. So the Gemara says, you're right. Elamach v'arta k'deshanyan me'ikara. You're right. We have to go back to the first answer that only when the yibum is the result of her first marriage to a brother who was a pikeah. Then we say he can't. Then that's when Reb Shimon Gamliel is saying that he can't divorce based on gestures. But and he says on the other hand, pikeach v'nischarish, then he could, because then he has das, and then he's able to write it out, which is what Rav had said at the beginning of the sugya. But you're right. We have to use the answer that there is a difference whether the brother who passed away was a pikeach or a cheresh. We can't use the second answer, that even when they're chereshim, we make a gzera, because we see that the Mishnah that we just quoted from Yevamos doesn't imply any such gzera. Okay. So the Gemara continues. You should know that the Tanna Kamma and Rav Shimon Gamliel disagree with that, disagree on this point. You shouldn't think, now Rav Shimon Gamliel had said the words, Bamed Varam Amurim. Sometimes you find that Bamed Varam Amurim is not to argue with the previous explanation, but to, with the previous opinion, but to clarify it. But here, Rav Yechanan is saying, and Tosfos had referred to this on the bottom of Omer Aleph, that they are in fact disagreeing. The Tanna Kamma would say it doesn't matter whether he was originally a pikeach or whether he's always been a cheresh. Either way, he can't write in order to divorce. And that would disagree with what Rav is saying. Again, he said that Rav would allow it only in the case of Rav. The fact that Rav allows it would have to be necessarily appointed of Shimon Gamliel. So Amar Abaye, Afanan Nami Tanena. So in fact, Abaye says we can see that also from another Mishnah in Yevamos. A Mishnah says you have a case where a couple got married normally. You have a case where a couple got married normally and then nishtis, and then the wife became a shoita. She lost her mind. Lo yotzi. So the Mishnah says the husband is not allowed to divorce her. Now Rashi points out, if she became a chershis, and the fact is that if she was a chershis, he would be able to divorce her. The fact is, a get can be given against the wife's will, at least until cherem de'ben gershin. So really, he ought to be able to divorce a shoita as well. However, the chachamim don't want her to, as the Gemara is going to explain soon, because eliyadas lishmar atzma, she doesn't know how to guard herself, and people are going to end up People are going to end up taking advantage of her and being mezanin with her. So therefore, as opposed to while she's married, even though she's a shoita, her husband will look after her and make sure that doesn't happen. So the Mishnah says that he can't divorce her in that case. Continues the Mishnah in Scharashu Anishtata. Now, as far as the husband, if he became a cheresh or he became a shoita, lo yotzi olamis, then he's also not able to divorce her. So now, what do you mean? What's a lomis? What does it mean? He can never divorce her. Lav afagav diyochol ladavim techaksav. Evidently, the implication is that even though he's able to write, then he still can't divorce her. So you have a Mishnah, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel, because Rav Shimon Gamliel in this case would allow it, since this is pikeach v'nischarish. When they got married, he was normal. And now later on he became a cheresh. So we see the Mishnah is saying, Lo Yotzi Olamis, where the word Olamis means apparently even if he's able to write it. So the Gemara says, Amar Papa, not necessarily. You know what? If Rabbi Yechanan had not informed us that the other Tanoim argued with Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Havamina, then you would have thought Rabbi Shimon Gamliel a Farushi time of the Tanna Kamma Udasa. You would still say that maybe Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is only coming to clarify what the Tanna Kamma says. Maybe the Tanna Kamma agrees also with this distinction of the Cheresh Ne'ikra versus the Pikeach Ne'ischaresh. But you could say Umay lo yotzi olamis. So what would you do with the word olamis? Means afogav de chazin le dechorif would mean maybe old mission means to stress with that word olamis is to tell us even if we see that the guy is very sharp. So you see, let's say you have a cheresh. So we can see, let's say we talk with him, we watch his gestures and whatever, and we can see he still has full intelligence. He's just unable to hear and unable to speak. You would think maybe in that case, maybe he could divorce through remiza, through gestures, and the Mishnah would be implying that not, but not necessarily. Is the Mishnah addressing the matter of writing? Maybe in fact the Mishnah is not telling us that he can't write. You, Abaye, are saying the word olamis comes to tell us that he can't even write. Maybe it means he can't even gesture, no matter how smart we see he is. But maybe as far as writing, that would be a different matter, and maybe he would be able to. Maybe in fact that Mishnah does not argue with Rav Shimon Gamliel. Or inami. Or maybe the stressing of the word olamis in the Mishnah is maybe coming to tell us kiddur Rabbi Yitzchak. Maybe it's coming to tell us l'chiddur Rabbi Yitzchak. Maybe it's coming to tell us something that Rabbi Yitzchak points out. D'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, d'var Torah shoyta miskareshes, mina Torah shoyta ought to be able to be divorced because you don't need her das. You don't need her das for gittin. So as long as she knows how to hold on to the get, then the get would be valid on a daraisa level. Midah dehavei apikachas bar kocha, because no different than the case of apikachas was being divorced against her will, where again the daraisa and the drabbanon until chayim diabene gerushim, such a thing was allowed. Umatam omur and maskaresha. So why the chacham is saying you can't divorce her? Shelo yinagu b'minag hefker. So people don't treat her as hefker because since she's a shoita and she doesn't know how to watch herself, then people are going to then other men are going to come and take advantage of her and be mizana with her willingly or unwillingly, as the case may be, and therefore the Chacham didn't want that. So in other words, maybe the word olamis is stressing the point that midaraisa, in other words, we would say that in the beginning of the Mishnah, it didn't say anything about olamis, because the first part of the Mishnah that we quoted is talking about, as we're saying, when you say nishdis lo yotzi, so that is drabbanon following Rabbi Yitzchak's point. The second part of the Mishnah, when it says that if he became a cheresh or a shoita, lo yotzi olamis, that part is daraisa. So maybe the word olamis is coming to, and maybe the word olamis is coming to imply that you should know there's a difference in these two dinim. One is darai, one is drabbanon, based on Rabbi Yitzchak's, hinting at Rabbi Yitzchak's din, and the other one is daraisa, because a cheresh doesn't have, once it was kedushin, were valid daraisa, and therefore he doesn't have the ability to use gestures or whatever to divorce. But maybe as far as writing is different, and maybe Reb Shimon Gamliel points out that he could write. Maybe in fact the Tanakhama would agree with that, and maybe therefore Rav's opinion that said that he could write would go according to everybody. So in the end, the Gemara hasn't really come to a conclusion, therefore, whether the Chachamim are arguing with Reb Shimon Gamliel or not, which is what drives, you have the two different opinions in Shulchan Aruch of whether in fact he can write instructions and give the get or not. When he's a cheresh, that is, when he's an ilim, for sure, then you have, the Mishnah had said, you can even have him nod and shake his head and write a get on that basis. So therefore, no question, also, he could write it. But if he was a pikeach and a cheresh, then we can't, then maybe you can't have him write, because again, maybe only according to Reb Shimon Gamliel could he, and the halacha may not be like him, or maybe yes, which is how you come to have the two opinions in Shulchan Aruch on the subject. Okay. The Mishnah says, Omru loy nichtiv get ishtecha, if people ask a person who's a healthy person, or a shchid merav, who is a chacham, who is not a shoita and not a cheresh and so forth. If they ask him nichtav get leishtecha, should we write a get for your wife? And he tells them write it, but he did not say anything about. So he told them you write it. Omru la sofer v'chosav, and then they told the sofer to write it. V'la'edim v'chosav, and they told the edim to sign it. So even though the get has been written and signed and given to the husband, the nasnila, and then he gives it to the wife, and everything seems to be good. Hareya get bottle. Nevertheless, the get is bottle. Ad shiyemal sofer ksevul edim chasomu, because he has to directly tell the sofer to write, and he directly has to tell the edim to sign. Which is we learned in the previous parak. A whole matter about this, about when the people that he talked to are able to delegate it to others and when not. And here we're saying that here, as we're going to discuss in the Gemara over here, this relates back to that Gemara over there. We had Reb Meir versus Reb Yossi discussing that point. Is there any possibility ever that he can say to people, that he can say to a group of three, Sohu, you write the get, and they're able to delegate it to others? Reb Meir allowed it, and he said there, Reb Akiva, according to Chanina Ish Oino, Reb Akiva allowed it also, whereas Reb Yossi did not. So now we're going back to that point. So Pnei Yeshua points out the diuk in the Mishnah. Why does it mention the point that they wrote it and signed it and gave it to him, and then he gave it to the wife? The point is, we learned before, why is it taka that the husband, when he tells them ksoivu, they can't delegate it to others? According to Reb Yossi, anyway, we learned earlier in the Masechta, and we repeated in that sugya on Daf Samach Vav, that the one reason Abaye had given a reason because bizoyin de baal, because the husband may not want it to be known publicly that he can't write the get himself. So he tells others, you write the get. implying, because I don't know how to, so fine, for them themselves to write, if there's no bazillion, but if they tell other people, he may not want that, because he may not want it to get out there that he doesn't know how to. Well, the point is, here the husband is actually taking the get from them and giving it to his wife. You would think, therefore, that he certainly doesn't mind, because he certainly doesn't mind, because he himself is using that get, and therefore, Kamash Malan, that even then the get is possible. This, by the way, that was saying that there needs to be instructions from the husband for both the writing and the signing of the get. The Beis Shmuel on Shulchan Aruch points out, and we had several times in the Masechta, we had Eide Mesira Kauti or Eide Chasima Kauti, but on the face of it, if we say Eide Chasima Kauti, like a mayor, then all he needs to do is tell the Eidim to sign. According to him, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, you could even find a get with the proper names in the garbage, so it obviously wasn't written l'shma of this couple and it would be valid. And yet, our Mishnah is saying that he needs to give instructions for the writing of a get. And according to Rabbi Lozer, you don't need Adam to sign at all, because in principle, the get could be given without signatures of Adam as long as it's given with Adam Asira. So what's the, so who are we following over here in our Mishnah? So the Beis Shmuel answers that we learned earlier in the Masechta, we did say Rabbi Yehuda had said that the husband had said you need to have the husband's instructions for both the writing and for both to write the get and to sign it. So we learned over there that even though it's not Eidim Hasidim Akauti, it's not Eidim Hasidim Akauti, but nevertheless we did learn that Rabbi Yehuda had learned over there that the Chosav Law includes the actual get itself, and it also has to be signed. So therefore, according to our Mishnah could be according to that opinion. So the Gemara says, "Time of the Amatnu." Now, the reason we're saying in our Mishnah that the get is no good is because he only said "ksovu." Apparently, is because he left out the word "tnu." So therefore, it sounds like he's mafkid that they should be writing the get. And again, you have this matter of bizoyan that he doesn't want it to be known by other people that he can't write the get. Again, you have this point that it would be an embarrassment for him to say publicly he doesn't know how to write again. So that Rashi points out. Now again, we had before on Daf Samach Vav, we had Reb Meir saying that if he says kis v'get l'ishti, if he says to a Beis Din, then they're able to delegate it to others. But even Reb Meir would agree that they can't. That's when he said kis v'get l'tnu. But if he only said kis v'u, then not. Reb Meir would agree with our Mishnah. Would agree with our Mishnah that they can't delegate it to others. Incidentally, Rashi mentions over here the word. He says l'kamon b'perikas gabel. We had it previously in Daf Samach Vav, which goes back to what we were saying at the beginning of the previous perik. Tosfos pointed out that Rashi has this perik and the previous perik in opposite order of the way we have it. He has this perik Misha Ochzai as sixth and his Skabal as seventh, whereas we have it the other way around. Anyway, the point is that it's a time of Dilo Amat Tnu. So apparently, why do we have a problem? Because he didn't say Tnu. Ha Amat Tnu Noisnin. Apparently, though, the Mishnah is implying that if he had said Kis Fugetu Tnu Leishti, then it would be valid, because then he's making them a Beis Din. So then we learned before, the mayor would allow that and say that they could delegate it to other people to write. So mani Rameuri. So that seems to be according to Rameuri. Drama mili mimser on l'shliach. Where we learned before in the Sugya and Daf Samach Vav that Rameuri holds that you can give over mili to a shliach. We learned over there too a couple of possibilities. What mili means? Does it mean just something verbal without an actual physical get? So he's telling them write the get, and they're in turn giving those instructions write the get to somebody else. Or is it the point that the Kodesh Meradush said that mili means something that's incomplete, where the get has yet to be written? Anyway, so our Mishnah would so far be according to the mayor, apparently. So the Mishnah is saying, because he only said kisvu, it's no good. But if he says kisvu, it's new, then it would be fine. But then look at the next part of the Mishnah. Where it says ad shiyem the sofer ksovel edim chasomu, it says he actually has to tell the sofer to write. He himself, the husband personally, has to tell the sofer to write, and he has to tell the edim to sign. And if not, so no matter what, even if he said tnu, then no good. Asan la Rav Yossi. That part of the Mishnah seems to be like Rav Yossi. D'amar mili lo mimsu am shliach, where he says that you can't give over mili to a shliach. You can only give over something physical or something complete to a shliach, and therefore they can't delegate it to another shliach to write. So who is our Mishnah like? Reishit a mayor of a sefer Rav Yossi. Are you going to say that the beginning of our Mishnah is like the mayor and the end of it is like Rav Yossi? Mishnayos are not usually done like that. And Gemara says, yeah, ain't Reishit a mayor of a sefer Rav Yossi. Yeah, you would have to answer that the beginning of our Mishnah is like the mayor, implying that only because he said ksovu is it a problem. But if he said to a base, to three people, he said ksovu utnu, then it would be fine. Whereas that would be according to the mayor. Whereas the sefer of the Mishnah is saying that would be apparently according to Rav Yossi. So that's the first answer. Abaya on the kula Rav Meir. Abaya says you don't have to answer that. You could say the whole Mishnah goes like Rav Meir. Skin, what are we talking about over here? Deloya matnu. We're talking about in both parts of the Mishnah. He didn't say tnu. So you're telling me that the second part of the Mishnah is implying where it says ad shiyom l'sefer k'sov l'edim chasomu, and you're implying that in that case we're talking even though he said kisvu tnu, not necessarily. In the sefer also maybe he only said kisvu. Well, the Gemara says yihachi ad shiyom tnu miboyle. Then in that case the Mishnah should have said that it's kosher only if he says tnu. Why is the Mishnah saying only if he says to the sefer write and to the edim sign? If the whole Mishnah was according to the mayor, then it should have said that when is it kosher? Only if he says tnu, and then they're able to delegate it to other people. So fine, you're right, we can't use that answer. We would have to say, hochab ma'askinen, dole amalabet tlosa. You would say, fine, he didn't say to three people. He said tnu, but he said it's only two people. And as we learned before, on Daf Samach Vav, even the mayor agrees that you need three. You can't tell two people, and they delegate it to others, because two doesn't constitute a beis din. So the Gemara says, Yihachi ad shiyom l'shloshim yivoylei. Again, and in that case, the Mishnah should be saying that if the whole Mishnah went according to the mayor, it should be saying if he said ksoivu, and they told others, then it's no good, ad shiyom l'shloshim. It should say unless he tells three. And the mayor would say if he tells three, then it would have been valid if they tell other people. Why instead is the Mishnah saying, ad shiyom l'shloshim ksoivu l'edim chasomu, which seems to imply there's no other way of doing it other than him directly telling the sofer and him directly telling the edim, which will be according to Rav Yossi. So no, rather we can answer Ela Kula Rav Yossi. Rather we can answer that the whole Mishnah is like Rav Yossi. So therefore always the husband has to say V'hoch Ma'askinan. But what are we talking about? V'hoch Ma'askinan. What are we talking about over here? Deloy Omar Imru. We're talking about an on Mishnah where he didn't say Imru, he didn't say to others. So we learned previously on Daf Samach Vav, we drew a distinction between where he says Kisvu Utnu, where he says write it and give it, where therefore they themselves have to write it and they themselves have to sign it, versus when he says, we learned over there, Omer Imru, where he says say to others that they should write it and say to others that they should sign it. So he didn't say Imru, so that would be when Rav Yossi is saying that it's no good. But if Omer Imru, if he said to them, you say to others, then Rav Yossi would then Rav Yossi would allow it. So we could say the whole Mishnah maybe goes according to Rav Yossi. But the Gemara asks, Ad shiyom imru miboylei. First of all, the question is that in that case, the Mishnah should in fact say Ad shiyom imru to make that distinction clear. But oid, and besides that, mi moide Rav Yossi ba omer imru. Does Rav Yossi in fact allow by omer imru? That's fine. We learned previously on Daf Samach Vav that he doesn't. And in fact, Matznan, we learn in a Mishnah towards the end of our Masechta, which we quoted in that sugya as well, Sav sofer ve'ed kosher. If the get is written in the handwriting of the sofer and there's one aid signing it, then that counts as a valid get. V'omer Rav Yirmiyah chasam sofer sheninu. And Rav Yirmiyah says we don't mean just that there's only one signature at the bottom of the aid. What we mean is that the sofer himself, who wrote the get, also is one of the aidim who signed it. And Mishnah is saying it's kosher. V'omer Rav Chista masnisin mani. Rav Yossi, and he says that Mishnah would go according to Rav Yossi. who says, again, that you can't give over words to a shliach. So therefore, in other words, so we learned previously on Daf Samach Vav, there was potentially there could be a problem with having the sofer sign, because we said, what happens if the husband tells the edim specifically, he tells them, we said, suppose that the husband talks to Reuven and Shimon and tells them, I want you to tell Levi and Yehuda to sign this get. And instead, when Levi and Yehuda have arranged for the writing, again, once Reuven and Shimon have arranged for the writing of the get, they think to themselves, you know, it would be embarrassing to tell the sofer, you wrote this get, but you can't sign it, we'll allow you to sign it as one of the edim, and therefore, and then it would be possible because they didn't follow the husband's instructions. So according to the mayor, there would be a potential problem with that. But according to the Yossi, there's no potential problem because there's no way of telling one group of people to tell other people to write or sign the get. So therefore, because to begin with, that would be possible. So therefore, there's no possibility of Omer Imru. So the Isaf Adidas, Moda Rav Yossi, but Omer Imru, if Rav Yossi agrees that when he says Imru, when he says to others, you write and you sign the get, then such a thing couldn't be kosher if it has a signature of the sofer plus one other aid. Zimnin nafik menei churba. You could have a problem that comes from it. The zimnin de amalu l'shnayim imru l'sofer v'yichtev l'plani v'plani v'yachtevu. Because then you could have, he tells two people, Imru, you tell the sofer to write, and you tell Ploni and Ploni, Levi and Yehuda at the sign, or Mishum Kisufa the sofer, Chayshi, and then they're concerned about embarrassment of the sofer. How can we tell the sofer, write the get, but then we're not going to allow you we're not going to allow you to sign it. So, Umachat Mile, and they're going to allow him to sign as one of the Edim, Ubala Yamahachi. And the husband didn't say that. So therefore, we see clearly from that, as we discussed in that sugya, that Rav Yossi does not hold that Omer Imru is kosher, and because otherwise there'd be no way. Otherwise, we would have to be concerned that such a get did not fully follow the husband's instructions and is possible. So that's first of all. And besides that, the Gemara had pointed out the wording of our Mishnah doesn't really fit with that. So Ella,
That's only because of making the sofer uncomfortable, that he doesn't agree with that?
What I'm saying is, because the edim, whom the husband told to arrange for the writing and signing the get, they might want to spare the sofer's feelings, and therefore they might allow him to sign in place of one of the edim that they were supposed to get. Again, in other words, the husband had told them, the case is, Oimu Imru, as the husband says to Reuven and Shimon, I want you to arrange for the writing of this get. I want you to tell a sofer to write the get, and I want you to tell Levi and Yehuda to sign the get. Now what happens is, we're saying that Reuven and Shimon, having had the sofer write the get, they're going to think to themselves, what are we now going to tell the sofer? Sorry, you're good enough to write the get, but you're not good enough to sign it. No, we'll allow him to sign as one of the edim to spare his feelings. And then instead of having both Levi and Yehuda sign, we'll have only Levi sign. And that's no good because the husband specifically said that he wanted Levi and Yehuda to sign. So according to the mayor, there'd be no way, says Rav Chista, to make that mission work. Such a get cannot be allowed to be good because you have that concern that such a scenario might have happened. So why is Rav Chista
Can't you say Loshkiach? It's not very likely to happen.
It's likely enough that we have to be concerned. The very fact that we find the sofer himself wrote the get and is one of the edim signed that, and it's a fairly unusual situation. So therefore, obviously, there's something strange went on over here. But on the other hand, so why is it kosher according to Rav Yossi? Because according to Rav Yossi, there's no way to begin with that such a scenario would even begin. Because he would say if the husband says Imru, if the husband says to Reuven and Shimon, write and sign the get, Rav Yossi would say such a thing can never happen in the first place. They're not allowed to. The only thing they can do is they themselves can write the get and sign it. They themselves, they would not be able to delegate it to somebody else even when he told them Imru. Well, therefore, there's no problem. If now we find the sofer is signed as one of the edim, obviously the husband can't have told them any specific instructions of who should be writing and signing, because if he told them Imru, then Rav Yossi would say that's no good. So therefore, so that Mishnah can work according to Rav Yossi. So it's clear that Rav Yossi doesn't allow Omer Imru. So how can you say that our Mishnah would be completely according to Rav Yossi and say that we're talking about that the difference is whether he said Kisvu or whether he said Imru? So Ella Machbata, Reshra Meir, the Sefer Rav Yossi. So therefore, it's very clear that we have to say, like we said originally, that the beginning of our Mishnah is like Rav Meir, and the end of it is according to Rav Yossi. However, The Gemara doesn't stop over there. Rav Ashi, I'm a cooler Rav Yossi. Rav Ashi says, in fact, the whole Mishnah could be made to work points of Rav Yossi. And loy midboya, Tomar, the Mishnah is telling us one of those needless to say things. Loy midboya, hecha deloy amatnu. The Mishnah is saying, in the Reisha, the get is possible because he didn't say tnu. There's not much of a chiddush in that. Fine. Just the fact that he didn't say tnu is reason enough to pass the get. Elas, lilu, oma tnu, loy. Even if he told them not only write the get, but also give the get, then it would be no good because Reb Yossi is saying, milu le mimsir on the shliach. You can't delegate a shlichos of words or something incomplete to somebody else. And the Mishnah would also be implying, and not only where he didn't say Imru, even if he said Imru, even if he told them, needless to say where he didn't say it to three, even if he had told the three who constitute a Beis Din, it also wouldn't work, because again, our Mishnah would be acquainted of Yossi, who doesn't care whether it's a Beis Din or not. Either way, he had said in that Mishnah and Daf Samach Vav, it's always going to be possible. Needless to say, where he hadn't said Imru, even if he said Imru, then it would also be no good, because again, Rabbi Yossi would say that even Oimu Imru is no good. When our Mishnah says to begin with that he said that they asked him, should we write? And he said Ksovu. So needless to say, that's possible because we're told he didn't say Tnu. There's no three, etc. But even if you had everything else, even if you had three, and even if you said Tnu, or even if he said Imru, then still Ad Shiyomu Sofer Ksovu LaEdim Chasovu. He has to directly say to the Sofer to write, and he has to directly say to the Edim to sign. So the Gemara says, Tanya Kabasei the Rav Ashi. In fact, we learn a Braisa, like the way Rav Ashi understands our Mishnah, that it is all according to Rav Yossi, because the Braisa clarifies, cost of Sofer Lashma, if the Sofer wrote the get Lashma, the Chosmu Edim Lashma, and the Edim signed Lashma, even though the get was written and signed and given to him, and then he gave it to his wife, Harea get bottle, then the get is bottle, Ad Shi Yishmu Koloi, until they hear his voice, he has to say to the sofa, right, and he has to say to the Edim sign. So we see that the Braisa is expanding on the Mishnah and saying no matter what, you always have to have direct instructions from the husband. There's no way to have the husband give others instructions that are then going to be delegated to somebody else. So that fits according to the Yossi. So the Gemara finishes off. What's this word? Yishmu ukoloi. What's the stress on those words? Yishmu la'apukim under amamoyder of Yosi ba'omer imru. So the word Yishmu in the Braisa comes to tell us not like the opinion that we learned previously in the sugya and daf samach vav. We talked about there was an opinion over there in the Gemara that Rav Yosi would agree that omer imru was fine. We said in the Gemara over there that maybe Rav Yossi agrees that Oimer Imru. So now, and we said maybe not based on what Rav Chista explains that Mishnah of Chasam Sofer, but nevertheless we wouldn't have known for sure that that's how it is. The Braisa is making it very clear that that's how it is. Rav Yossi will not allow it with Oimer Imru. And Koloi, when it says they have to hear his voice, Rav Pukim, is it Rav Kahana or Rav, comes to tell us, not like what Rav Kahana told us in the name of Rav, that he can write it, that he can't write it, he would have, the Braisa is saying, he would actually have to speak it out. Which Tosfos says, it's one thing in the Mishnah, when he nods his head, then that's the equivalent of hearing a voice. But if the Braisa is being mamayat something, so it must be mamayat the case of a cheresh. Again, unlike the Mishnah at the beginning of the parak, and talked about an ilim, when Rav Kahana's din had been talking about a cheresh, so then we would say that no, the Braisa is implying that they actually have to hear his voice. It's not good enough for them to have it in writing. And again, you have the machlokas. You have the machlokas Rishonim. Is that in fact? So we have a Braisa contradicting Rav Kahana's statement. But again, we had a Braisa before where Rav Shimon Gamliel will allow it, and he said, "Is Rav Shimon Gamliel agreeing with the Chachamim, or is he disagreeing with them?" So the result of that is you have the two different opinions whether in fact a cheresh writing out instructions saying that a get should be given is going to be valid or not.
And so some poskim say it can, and some poskim say it cannot.
Right. That's exactly what a yeshar mem is. Yeah. Tosfos, by the way, points out another interesting nuance over here that we learned previously when we learned the sugya and daf samach zayin. The Gemara had samach vav samach zayin. The Gemara had continued to go on and said this case about the sofer signing the get. The Gemara had mentioned over there, you have a case that we talked about over there, kosher, v'loy ta'osa kain b'Yisrael. There's a certain case over there involving instructions being given to write a get. Where we say Oimu Imru, where we said technically the halacha is not like Rav Yosi. The halacha is that the thing would be kosher, but v'loya osa, it shouldn't be done. But here Tosfos says, since the Gemara already knows that we already discussed this five blocks earlier, so it doesn't bother repeating it again. And Tosfos says, here you see, not like Rashi, that apparently the prakim as we have them are in the correct order. But that would explain why the Gemara did that, having gone through that whole discussion on Daf Samach Vav Samach Zayin, so the Gemara doesn't bother going through that whole part of the discussion over here again, because it already discussed it before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, and Brooklyn to you.